500 years ago, he washed ashore the sole survivor of a shipwreck. And upon the skull of the man who killed his dad, he said, I'm mad, I must eradicate piracy, injustice and cruelty, and all my sons will follow me. So evildoers will believe that this man cannot die.
G'day, this is Expand the Phantom Podcast. Our website is chroniclechamber.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via YouTube or through your favorite podcast apps. Give us a rating because it helps people find us, and don't forget to tell a mate about us. I am Jermaine, and today I am joined by Dan. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, I'm good, Jermaine. I'm very excited to be chatting fandom tonight, and I'm very excited about what we're chatting about. So, yeah, can't wait to get into it.
Yes. Normally, we have our large monthly comics and news podcast, but we all agreed that with such exciting news about Moonstone announcing their relicense, that we thought, let's do our initial thoughts on the Moonstone news, that they now have they've got the license for the Phantom, but also Mandrake and Lofer. And then, as we'll discuss later, Joe, the owner of Moonstone, and Mike, the head writer and head editor for the Phantom line, will join us later. But we wanted to, I guess, have an excuse to talk Phantom on a Friday night after a hard day.
Oh, absolutely, mate. I'm a Brisbane Lions AFL fan, as regular listeners will know, and there's a Lions podcast called The Raw Deal. They record an emergency podcast if the Lions have a significant win. And we heard a few emergency pods during the final series. So if the Lions won through to the grand final, we won't talk about anything after that. But this is an emergency pod because this is a big win for the Phantom, and I'm super excited to be getting into it.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're going to do is we've got a bit of a run sheet. We're just going to talk about it ourselves. We're going to ask lots of questions, let people know what we know. And then what we want is, if you've got a question, or you've got, oh, why didn't they raise this, or why didn't they ask this, send us an email, chroniclechamber@gmail.com, because as we said, we will be talking to Mike and Joe later on, and probably up a couple of times until the first comment comes out. So there will be a good chance that your question will be asked. So, Dan, let's start off. Give us your initial thoughts about the news.
Oh, look, my initial thoughts about the news is it's great that there's going to be regular Phantom comics produced in America. That's where the Phantom was born. That's where the syndicate started. That's where the original audience is, and they deserve to have regular stories coming through. So I'm very excited for our American PHANS fans. And then beyond that, I'm really curious as to what this is going to look like. And great to have a lot more, and I might need to elaborate on this later, but it'll be great to have a lot more original stories that are being produced with English as a first language. And that is absolutely no offense. To other nations, it's just the translations, I don't think, always do them justice. And to have them written in English as a first language, I think is going to be exciting too.
Very good points. I guess for me, my initial thoughts is, so I was a Phantom fan from the mid-90s. Yeah. Moonstone came around in 2002 initially. And that was kind of like the early stages of the Phantom Forum, the Phantom on Facebook, Chronicle Chamber, and that type of stuff. And so for me, Moonstone has a special place in my heart, and that might make me more biased towards them.
Were you actually purchasing and reading Moonstone comics fresh in 2002 and then for their run?
Yes. Quality Comics in Perth. They were bringing them in, especially for me. And then they thought, oh, well, one fans asked for it, we might as well bring in some more. And then they actually started having people coming to their shop just to buy the Moonstones and stuff. So it was beneficial for them as well. But for me, yeah, exactly. I was buying the issues, you know, I was discussing them on the Phantom Forum. I was discussing it on Facebook, and, you know, and then having creators like Ben Rabb, Mike Bullock, Douglas Kluber, and a lot of these other creators who we've actually interviewed and had chats with as well, but how they were actually communicating with us fans as well, which we weren't getting with Frew at that stage.
They were on the forums and stuff.
Yeah, they were on the forums and talking with us and all that type of stuff. So it was like, you know, they were chatting with us. And so as a fan who then became an addicted fanatic fan, if you want to kind of go to that next level, it really...
And you have, let's face it, you have.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, creating almost 300 podcasts and all that type of stuff, you have to be kind of nutty to be able to do that. But, you know, like, they were there. They were part of the journey into that deep, 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 deep addiction. If they capture half of what they did, I would be happy because, you know, it was exciting.
Yeah. For balance then, I completely missed the first iteration of Moonstone. I actually moved to Mount Isa in 2001, so the year before Moonstone came out, and there was no comic shops up in Mount Isa, you know, remote northwestern Queensland mining town, 3,000 Ks from the closest comic book shop. I've got four Moonstone comic books in my collection, and I don't actually think I've read any of them to this stage. And I know that I'm going to go into those and dip into the Chronicle Chamber resources as well to catch up so that I can go forward, because I'm excited, you know, now that they're around again, I'm excited to catch up on them. But yeah, completely missed the first iteration, almost the exact opposite experience to what you've had there, Jim.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess why for me this is important, on top of everything you've already discussed, which is about it being the birthplace of the Phantom, you know, new stories in English, etc., which you've already talked about, is for me, it's important and it's exciting because it coincides with what Frew, Egmont are already doing, which is really good. And then you've got, you know, Norway, Germany, France, Hungary, you know, and Greece and all those other countries that are producing Phantom comics.
And that's it. It's exciting to have any new country, let alone, America.
Yeah. And on top of all of that, you've got the TV show and that's in development at the moment. Yeah. You've got the video game that's going to be coming out in 2024. Yeah. And then you've got the NECA figurines, which were very, very popular in the States. And from what
Are they still available, those figures, do you know, or no?
Yes. Yeah.
They are. Yep.
And from what we've been told, they actually had to reprint or reprint, I guess that's
whatever it is when you do
the figurines, they've actually had to reprint those to supply demand. So, you know, all of those type of things. Now you've got a new comic book series producing new comics in America, along with hopefully a good TV show, hopefully a video game, which is going to
cut through. I reckon
and all that as well.
What we've seen, and this is a different podcast, but what we're seeing from Art of Play and the video game is outstanding. It's going to be great for fans. That's why I say I hope it gets cut through into a larger market than just existing Phantom people.
And there's an op, you know, and in talk and in knowing what Moonstone are like and talking to Ash, you know, you could almost see, even before it's communications actually started, that there's going to be some cross-platform. And, you know, they'll be crazy not to also promote the TV show. And, you know, hopefully we'll know a little bit more about the TV show when, you know, the video game and the comic book series are coming out. So, you know, for the Phantom to become popular, which then increases the value for everyone's collections, and means that we're going to continue having new Phantom comics.
Selfish reasons, but yeah.
whether you live in, you know, Sweden or Australia, we want ongoing new Phantom comics. Whether you live in the States and all that, we need America to fall in love with the character again. Now, I'm not saying that on their own, all of them are the silver bullet or the one answer, but together it can help.
I 100% agree that, and that is a very exciting aspect of what we hope it become Well, you'd know much better than me how popular Moonstone was in the first iteration again. But if they get those sorts of audience numbers and print runs again, it can only help grow the brand and grow the character.
Yeah, yeah. Now every time we do a social post on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter celebrating Moonstone or celebrating a birthday or talking about an issue and all that, you know, there are the negative fans that didn't like the series. But what I always find interesting is that there's always, every time we do one of those, there's always one or two people saying, I fell in love with the Phantom because of that. Or, you know, I fell back in love, or I found the Phantom because of Moonstone. So there's a lot of fan origin stories due to what Moonstone did. Let's hope they can continue. So,
as I know you're a big fan of pointing out, like Moonstone have already produced more original stories in the United States than any other publisher, and now they're going to just build on that. So yeah, really excited to see them get back in the game.
Mm-hmm. So the last time a US publisher published a new story was, I think it was May 2020. So by the time Moonstone create or release their first issue, which we believe will be in the first half of 2024, that'll be 4 years, which is a fair time.
Yeah, for sure. And was the May 2020, was that President Kennedy's mission from Hermes Press?
Yes.
Yeah, and fair to say that had mixed reviews. Wasn't popular amongst a lot of fans, and so you're probably going back even further. But before you get to the first or the last American produced comic that was well received from fans universally, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do we move on to what we know about the release?
No, I'm dead keen for you to tell us what we know, Germ. And when you say what do we know, it's what you know, and I'm happy for you to share that with the listeners and with me, and I'll ask you questions hopefully on their behalves as we go through.
awesome. And again, if you have a question that has not been answered or asked, make sure you email us, chroniclechamber@gmail.com, and we will do our best to get a question to you. And some of the questions we will be asking and some of the questions we have already asked are due to questions that have actually been asked from ourselves and from some others on Team Chronicle Chamber as well.
Oh, Jim, let's get into it.
Okay. So what we know is that the initial release of all their comic series is going to be a serialized stories. So think what Fru do with their part stories in the back of the issues, like the issue with Heloise part 1, 2, 3. It's going to be a comic around 50 pages, and there's going to be like a part 1 Phantom story, a part 1 crossover story, and then there's going to be other stories from the Moonstone staple. So it might be like the Spider, it might be Lady Domino, and you know, they kind of did something similar back when they last publishing it with the KGB Noir issues. There was 6 of those.
Yeah.
So they're going to be serialized stories, which I see it as a bit of a soft launch, in a sense that it's, you know, it's probably going to gear up to get a lot of more stories published and comics published. And it's going to be able to, hopefully, people are going to get excited. They're going to pick up the Phantom, and then they're going, oh, I don't mind this character. So then I might pick up that comic book series and, you know, and stuff like that as well. Now, each story, so part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5, that is published in the 5 issues, will be around 50 pages, give or take. So each comic will be about 50 pages. And each story that will then be separated into 5 parts will be about 10 pages, but each story will be about 50 pages in total. Does that make sense?
To get that right, so 10 pages per issue, basically, will be Phantom.
Yeah, give or take.
Comics, give or take, and it'll take you 5 comics, give or take, or just 5?
Yeah, give or take.
Okay. And this is being published bi-monthly, I think I read.
Bi-monthly, yes.
So it'll take you about a year to collect a 50-page or thereabouts fandom story.
Yeah, give or take.
Yep. All right. Cool.
Yeah, some of the stories will be in black and white, which will go with the noir feel. So obviously if the story, probably the way I'm assuming this, I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming if the story leads itself to a black and white style, it will probably be in black and white. There will be a crossover with Mandrake and Loafer. So there will be a standalone Phantom story, and then there will be a crossover story with Mandrake and Loafer as well.
So do you reckon, oh, and that'll be a second story in each issue? Like you said before, there's going to be multiple, you know, with other Moonstone characters and stuff, who I probably, well, I definitely will not know anything about. So there will be essentially a second Phantom story, but it's also got Mandrake in it. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if we're going to see like the Phantom story and then once that finished the crossover. They could be both. They might be a mixture. I don't know, but I know there's definitely a standalone Phantom story and then there is a crossover story. So there's at least two stories.
Okay.
Mike Bullock will be the main writer, which he was the main writer from the previous stories. One of the artists, so whether he's doing the crossover story or the standalone Phantom story, I'm not sure. But he is Sergio Albanese, who's from Argentina, and he has a lot of past Moonstone stories credits. So he has drawn stories for Moonstone previously, and so he's kind of on staff.
But just to clarify, has he drawn Phantom stories before or other Moonstone property?
Other Moonstone property.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, at least he's a known artist to them. So, and you will have checked out some of his art online. What's his look like with your expert eye?
I think he'll look good, and I think he will go well with the noir feel. Now there are other artists, but you know we're 2 months away until the end of 2023, so we're at least say 3 months away from the first issue. So there's going to be more announcements. Now, one of the questions that we had was, is it going to be about the 21st Phantom? Is it going to be portrayed in today's time or the 1930s or what era? And it's going to be today. So like the problems that are happening in Africa today are going to be the problems that the Phantom is going to be trying to solve today. And I think that works well, as we saw with the DC series back in the late 80s, early 90s. And then what Mike Bullock and Ben Rabb, especially those two created the stories did in Moonstone. They, you know, they touched upon slave trading, child soldiers, conflict diamonds, famine, troubled teenagers, gangs, you know, warring factions and all that type of stuff. So I'm assuming that there will probably be some of those elements will dictatorships. Some of those elements will probably be touched upon in the stories as well.
Yeah, fair to say those things haven't changed in Africa, unfortunately, in the last 10 years since Moonstone was writing about them last. And unfortunately, a lot of those tropes are things we've seen in Team Phantomen and Lee Fork stories going back 90 years. A lot of those things haven't changed, sadly. Mm-hmm. But it will be interesting to see a modern take on them, and that's one thing that... I did like about the Marvel stories. I know they're not Moonstone, but some of the Marvel stories I have read that were more modern.
Okay, so that's what we do know. Any questions or anything you want clarification on what we do know before we talk about further questions we want to see answered?
Just that I was just going to make the comment when you talked about it being one story in many different properties and whatever that was in the same magazine. If you like, you talked about a 50-page comic book magazine type thing, of which about 10 pages was going to be spent, da, 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 da. It's worth noting that that's actually a more common than not way for Phantom stories to be published. So like Australian listeners who are very used to their fortnightly dedicated Phantom comic we're very unusual in terms of the way this is sold around the rest of the world. We've seen this in the Fantomet Christmas special, all of Fantomet stories, really, and issues. That's how the Phantom's produced. Even in Australia and Giant Size now is moving to that sort of model. So it's not unusual, and it's just a great way to hopefully broaden the audience, get a lot of different people reading it, and going from there.
It all costs money. If it's really, really popular, and then if the money's there and the finances are there, we might see an ongoing Phantom series. But well, and that, who knows?
Because I haven't the Moonstone books that I do have. As I said, I've got three or five or whatever it is. None of them are those sorts of compilation books. I've got the KGB Noir. It's a trade paperback, I know, but it's the 5 Days of the Dragon, and a couple of the Captain Action issues. They're all just Phantom, I think. Well, to be fair, I haven't opened them. The Noir and the 5 Days, though, I think are. So Moonstone likely, do you think, once a story's finished, to compile it into a trade paperback or a standalone comic just with that story?
They've got history in doing that. That was a question that I have seen on social media is, will they do trade paperbacks? And they have done that. So what they used to do is they'll produce after, say, 4 or 5 issues. So this is on their regular issues. So, 1 to 12 or whatever it was, they would then produce a trade paperback. Once 5 or 6 issues have been published, they'll do a trade paperback of that, and then they'll continue with the floppies. So
yeah, okay.
I wouldn't be surprised that they will do that, because they have got history in doing that. And let's be honest, some Phantom fans out there, it's not cost efficient for them to be able to buy floppies, and so they will wait for the trade paperbacks and potentially get to another market and get to new eyes, which then means you make more money. So it's
absolutely. And there will be the completists who get both. So, they'll certainly be able to sell a bunch of them at least. Let's go on to the questions. The other questions we've got up our sleeves that we don't know answers to.
Yes, you were talking about being a completist. Now, if you were just a Phantom fan and not a comic, you probably never saw variant covers until what Moonstone did them. So it'll be interesting to see whether they do variant covers.
Now, because infamously, really, Dynamite went over the top and was doing 10 variant covers for each issue. Moonstone weren't doing that, were they?
No. So Moonstone would do, they usually did 1 or 2 covers. Okay. In their Ghost Who Walks series, I think the most they did would have been 5, and that was when Cybari actually did 1 cover, and then they,
Anyway.
Now, there are a couple of Phantom fans, Luke Gagan, Nick, I believe, is in Nick Moles. I know those two definitely. I think John and Paul are a couple of others who have literally hunted down every single one of those variants. I think Will Dorrington is another one as well. And I know they spent some big bucks hunting down all those variants as well. So
there you go. Well, you've named 5. I reckon that might be half of them in the world. a lot of people who want all the variants. I might be wrong, but yeah, it's it'd be interesting to know how many they printed of each of those, especially covers 15 through 20 sort of thing. Are there only literally 10 or 20 of those available? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one of the things that Moonstone did do with their variant, I think it was Comic Collector Live. And so, they did their normal cover, and then they went in partnership with them, and they might produce, say, 100 or 300 comics, and you buy through them. I believe there was also a partnership with an organization that funded rehabilitating actual saved child soldiers as well. Now, another question is, these new stories going to be a continuation of the previous Moonstone continuity, or is it going to be a new start? I.e., will we see the same bad guys like Ali Gutali, Timar Singh, Arthur Locke, Anna Baker, and or Manuel Ortega? It'll be interesting if it shoehorns, or if they're just going to start from scratch.
Yeah. The only one of those names that's familiar to me is Manuel Ortega.
He created this drug which kind of gave him strength, and he kicked Phantom's backside, to be honest.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, it's an interesting, and it will be really fascinating to hear from Mike Bullock as the author to put that exact question to him. Like, the stories, when Moonstone finished up, did you have a bunch in the bag, bunch of stories in the bag or ideas in the bag that you now want to bring up? Or can you see this, do you see this as a clean break of, right, I've had a decade away, start again using the lessons that I learned from doing it the first time, can still, could even still keep but the bones of those stories, as we said, the universal themes, sadly enough, but assign different bad guys to them, have a different start to that, to this patch of storytelling. So it's a great question. And I guess if he does continue to use the bad guys he's already established, that gives people like me all the more reason to hunt down back issues of Moonstone and read those stories.
We have had a chat with Mike Bullock a couple of years ago. I believe it was about 3 years ago. Now, he did say in that podcast that he had a further 50 stories up his sleeve when they lost the license. Now, that was a total including ranging from a plot to complete stories to being drawn stories type of stuff. So,
yeah,
and I think it would be fair to say he's probably a better writer now, 10 years down the track. So,
well, all of us would like to think that whatever job or career we're in, that 10 years down the track, you'd be better at it. So, yeah, absolutely. He probably... Again, fascinating to ask him, has he gone back to some of those finished scripts, for instance, and then retooled them, re-edited them? I'm looking forward to hearing that sort of insight from the author.
So if they do continue lineage or story arc, it'll be interesting whether they reprint the old stories again.
Well,
if they've got boxes and boxes, Renee White style, in their warehouse, which they can then put on their shop and actually start selling those for the people like you who are like, well, okay, for me to be able to understand this, I need to buy these 20 comics. I might as well buy these comics and buy these 20 and get them all shipped at once. Or
And that's a great question, and we will address this and supply people with ideas, because the distribution of these is going to be really important too. How am I in, you know, Queensland, Australia, going to be able to get one of these comics that's being produced in America? And if I'm in Kolkata in India, or if I'm in Stockholm in Sweden, how am I getting access to these books? So, and I'm sure we'll cover that too.
If it is a new start, i.e. they're saying, nope, we're starting afresh, will they follow the Phantom Bible? Or will they create their own lineage of historical phantoms, i.e. with birth years and details of wives and stuff like that? Now, in the past, Mike and to a lesser extent, Ben Rabb and some of the other creators were very keen to try and follow Lee Falk's example as much as possible. Like, for instance, they had, you know, Gene Latifi marry the 13th Phantom.
There's a lot more options for them now than there would have been. So, I mean, 2002, you talk about forums and stuff. Internet looked fairly different in 2002 than what it does now, as we talk to each other over a Zoom chat, planning to record it and produce it as a YouTube video and a podcast on whatever app you choose on your smartphone. Yeah, so there's a lot more information available now than there was through the wiki, through the Phantom Bible, through all of the chats that they've been exposed to over the years. And it's not going to come as any surprise to anybody that I'd much prefer that they keep to established lore rather than, you know, where there are gaps, we appreciate, do your own thing where there are gaps. But where there are not gaps, where there has been previous stories that have established law, so to speak, wherever it's come from, on balance, try to stick to it. That's part of the Phantom way, I think.
It'll be interesting to see how they go fitting their tales into that existing universe and how they extend on it, and dare I say it, how they even break that as well.
Yeah. And look, I was probably trying to be unbiased in my previous comment, but the amount of work that's gone into the Fandom Bible Gem, and again, that's so much on you, it's fair and balanced, what you've written. By, you know, I'll have little quibbles with little things, of course, on different entries, but by and large, the Fandom Bible you've put so much work into is a real fair and balanced bringing together of the universes as they've been existing in the past, and hopefully providing a solid platform in the future. So I would love to hear, when we talk to Mike or any of the other writers in particular, that the Bible has been something that they've at least had a look through before they committed pen to paper.
Yeah, completely agree. In the last, say, let's say 5 years, through Germany, the French publishers, Greece, have all published Phantom stories that were originally created by Moonstone.
Yeah, right. When did Fru do one?
They've done the Julie Walker story that Moonstone did in the Julie Walker Phantom one.
Annual.
And they also did, what was the annual about the Great Eastern Dark? There was two-part story Mike Bullock in there as well.
Yes. So I have read some Moonstone stories. There you go.
I raise that because the print quality, and it might have just been the printing, but it kind of looked like they were almost scanned in and they were not the original source file. So I'm curious whether Moonstone still have those, and it might be an option for other publishers to maybe publish some more of their work if they've got the original source file. So.
Yeah, gee, that would again lead to not a revival so much, but it just gives everybody more content to publish. That would, and as much as I absolutely celebrate new authors and artists getting, you know, work, it's a way for publishers to more cost effectively publish new stories for their audiences, share the content and the whatever that's available around the world anyway. So, yeah, if it helps get more Phantom into more hands more cost effectively, then yeah, that'd be fantastic.
It's a brilliant point. So Christian Mueller, who does our Germany comics reviews, most of them have, say, like a modern story, whether it's a Fru story, a Moonstone story, or even a Team Phantom End story, and then they're backed up with, say, like a daily or a Sunday story. He hadn't read these stories before, so he's a really good test candidate here. Of the Fru stories, Team Phantom End stories, and the Moonstone stories, he's liked the Moonstone stories the best.
The question that I'm looking forward to Moonstone answering for me in my position, and I've outlined, what have I missed out on? What am I going to see in these new comics? What did I miss in that first iteration? It's going to be really hard to go back and read all of those, and you talk about read 20 books to catch up on where I should be here. I hope that this new lot allow for readers who have come in late, even though I'm a Phantom fan for 30 or 40 years. I just missed Moonstone for this period. So I'd be representative of people who are picking up one of their books for the first time. I hope I don't need to. I might benefit from, and it might enrich my experience if I go back. But can I pick up the first book from 2024 and enjoy it for what it is and look forward to the next one and engage with it that way? So, yeah, that's my overall. I was thinking this before we started recording. What have I missed out on, and how good is it going to be as it comes through?
It's a very good point and a very good question to be able to ask Mike. Is like, if we're going to get this comic, what must I read to be able to enjoy this story as much as I can? It's a very good question.
Yeah, tell me, how do I get it?
So Mike, Joe, I hope you've enjoyed those questions. I hope you have those answers for those questions for when we chat on the podcast. So Dan, the other question that you had is, how can we get the comics?
Yes.
They are open distribution in America, which is the USA and Canada. So if you're living in those places, they should be easily to get in your local comic book shop. Say, for instance, us, who has a local comic book shop in our hometown or where we source our comics from, but is outside of North America, they are audible and pre-audible via Diamond. distribution, but we would recommend going to your comic book shop and saying, you need to get Moonstone in for me.
Okay.
Now, not everyone has a local comic book shop either that they can talk to or a comic book shop that would actually order them in for them. So the other option is you can order them directly from the Moonstone website.
Random question, I've literally just thought of it, but Frew have, in Australia, have made Regal comics available for sale. Do you, what did, off the top of your head, question without notice, do you think Frew might be a company in Australia that would order in a quantity of Moonstone and have them available for sale via their website?
If Renee can make money out of it, yes.
Yeah, touche.
But no, seriously, if we joke, but Frew's in the business to make money.
Oh, of course.
If they can make money from it, I don't see why not.
All right. We might have to put that question to the Frew crew.
Yes. Yes. One of the points that was stressed to me, and that was asked if I could stress it to our listeners, that pre-ordering via your local comic book shop is very important because pre-orders allows Moonstone to know how popular it is going to be, so they know how many to print. And obviously, the more they print, the more they sell, the more money they make, which means the higher chance they're going to continue printing the Phantom, which makes sense. And it also increases the likelihood that they're going to renew their license.
Yeah, it's a great point. We absolutely need to go out and do that. See your local comic book store, pre-order your Moonstone book.
As we mentioned before, we will be hopefully having Mike and Joe on the podcast or podcasts soon. So if you have other questions that we have not touched upon, email us. Our website is chroniclechamber.com and you can email us at chroniclechamber@gmail.com. If you don't want to email, you can send us your thoughts, your feedbacks, and your questions on our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We are on all the podcast players, so however you listen to your favorite podcasts, you can also listen to us, which includes iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube.
Thanks very much, Jim. I'm excited. I'm enjoying the anticipation. It's another 3, 4, 5 months, whatever it is, but can't wait to see some Moonstone books appear in the Phantom Cave. So, yeah, happy Phantoming, everybody, and good talking to you, Jim.
Likewise, listeners, thank you for listening. I hope you're excited. We are. And as always, stay safe and happy Phantoming.